I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, she's only 4'11", but she is standing tall in New York politics. How newly elected City Councilmember Margaret Chin made history last night in New York. We'll speak with her in just a moment. But first, we're continuing our conversation about the future of conservative politics and the GOP. We're talking about election results around the country. Now we're speaking with Ruben Navarrete, syndicated columnist for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He's also a regular contributor to our Barbershop Roundtable. Jonah Goldberg, news editor of the National Review, and Princella Smith, communications director for Republican Congressman Joseph Gao. We've been talking about the future of conservatism 1 year out from the election of President Barack Obama. I welcome you all. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I want to start with, we'll talk about the gubernatorial elections later if you want to, but I want to start with the election in New York, New York's 23rd district, because this race has been talked about as kind of a metaphor of the battle for the soul of the Republican Party, if you will. And just to set the table, we've talked a little bit about it throughout the program. Democrat Bill Owens won a seat that's been in Republican hands for more than a century. The whole race was a bit of a soap opera, if I can use those terms. The Republican nominee, Didi Scozzafaza, dropped out of the race just a few days ago. She faced a strong challenge from some national Republicans like Sarah Palin, who said that she was just too liberal for the district and didn't really represent core Republican values. Douglas Hoffman, the conservative party candidate, waged a strong challenge. Scozzafaza actually ended up endorsing the Democrat. I just want to play a clip of comments made by Douglas Hoffman, the conservative party candidate, last night. Here it is.
This is only one fight in the battle, people. Let's keep the fight going. Let's make sure that our voices are heard and that we stand up.
Okay. So, Jonah Goldberg, does this race have any larger meaning, or is this more about the people involved?
I think it has larger meaning, but I think the people involved are the bigger part of the story. I mean, first of all, as we heard from that little clip from Doug Hoffman, he's not exactly a great candidate. He sounds like Joe Lieberman on Xanax. And the reality is that the details of the race were just, as you say, they were such a soap opera. Scozzafaza was a very liberal candidate who was picked in a backroom deal, which is sort of, I think, one of the things that's been left out in all this, is that the way, if this had been done in a primary, Hoffman or somebody else would have beaten her in a normal primary. And the whole it's one of the talking points that sort of grates on me in the national media is when people say, rightly, that this has been a Republican district since, what, Reconstruction or whatever, but it has not been a conservative district. The whole reason why Barack Obama picked John McHugh, the incumbent Republican in there, was because Rahm Emanuel had figured out this is one of the easiest seats for Democrats to pick off. And to call it a Republican district for the last 100 years is absolutely right. But the larger story is that the Republicans have been dying off in the Northeast for a very long time now. And it shouldn't be that surprising, given how bad Hoffman was as a candidate, how messed up the Republican Party is in New York, that this ended the way it did. I mean, I'm disappointed, and I think that there's an important story to tell in that, you know, Hoffman's surge came from independence, which is an important part of this story. And I think any Republican or conservative in Washington or who studies this stuff would gladly take a Hoffman loss in exchange for a massive historical landslide in Virginia and a shocking upset in New Jersey.
But just on the broader question of, is this a metaphor over whether this is a battle over what Republican Party should be about? Should it try to consolidate its conservative base, embrace the social issues that some place at its core, or encourage and support a broader range of views among candidates? There are sort of national figures who have weighed in on this, like I said, Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich.
Sure.
What do you say? Do you think that is this an emblematic of a larger debate among Republicans?
I think there's a larger debate among Republicans, and you've outlined some of it, but I think this is a bad example to draw from to get it too big. Hoffman was not primarily campaigning on social and cultural issues. He was campaigning on the deficit and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
And that's what's driving a lot of the agitation and discontent out there right now. I think the Republican Party obviously needs more moderates. It needs more people. But I'm an acolyte of William F. Buckley, and his mantra was, I'm for the most conservative candidate electable.
Okay.
And I think that's what the Republican Party is still about right now. And I think that that Scozzafaza, who is really an unbelievably bad candidate and badly picked, is a hard person to pin This alleged civil war between moderates and conservatives in the Republican Party.
All right, let's hear from Princella and Ruben. Princella, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Michelle. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think?
Well, what I think is that the Republican Party absolutely has to embrace moderates. If you look at the two very important wins in Virginia and in New Jersey, those were two candidates that ran on ideas. They ran on issues that were specific to their states. Okay, Chris Christie ran on issues specific to his state. Bob McDonnell in Virginia ran on transportation, energy, and jobs. At the end of the day, these national fights about conservatives versus moderates really don't get us very far very fast. As a party, we need more people like Congressman Joseph Gao, who I work for, who will actually read through the bills and make informed decisions based on the needs of their district, and not only based on that, but based on their personal convictions. I think that what happened in New York was just it was a disaster, and not because the conservative lost, but because what should have been in totality a very good night for the Republican Party, you still have people focused on this high schoolish type fight between a conservative wing of the party and a more moderate wing of the party. Now, I will say that that Ms. Scozza Favazzo, I don't think she exactly exemplified what even a moderate Republican is, but what should have happened should have been a primary. People should have been able to choose, and then they should have been able to go with it. But this national fight about conservatives versus moderates is just ridiculous. People need ideas. They want solutions. And this wasn't a referendum on Obama. That's not what this was. What people want is good ideas, real solutions. They want less government in their lives. They want a strong national security, and they want elected officials who are making decisions relative to them and their needs. And that's what that was. Bob McDonnell was a fantastic candidate, and so was Chris Christie.
Mm, okay. Well, we can talk more about that in a minute. Ruben?
Yeah. A couple things. Let me make three quick points. I think the problem with New York 23 is it is so quirky. There's so many different things. Jonah mentioned the fact that this was a backroom deal. That played into the mix, the fact that Scozza Favazzo comes forward and endorses the Democrat but stays on the ballot, takes just enough percentage points in her vote to have taken arguably the win away from Hoffman. So there's a lot of stuff going on in New York 23. Even the opposition to the candidate initially was based on social issues. The reason she was deemed unacceptable was because of her position on gay rights and abortion. Even though Hoffman didn't have time, you could argue, to make that part of his campaign, that was clearly one of the problems they had with her. The other point worth making is to the larger GOP soap opera of whether they should go and reach out to moderates. I'd say the Democrats were here as well in 1992 when Bill Clinton came to the forefront as a national candidate. People forget he ran to the right, to the right of the modern Democratic Party at the time, pro-death penalty. He was critical of our immigration policies, pro-health, pro-welfare reform, and he made a lot of liberals nervous. And I remember at the time, Willie Brown, our House Speaker in California, the Assembly Speaker, said, you know, I hear the grumblings on the left about Bill Clinton not being liberal enough. I don't care. I just want to win. I'm tired of losing, he said. So, you know, the same debate was had then that the Republicans are having now. The lesson, I guess, from that is that you have to debate at some point whether you want to remain pure or whether you want to be electable. And the debate remains whether or not Republicans become more electable by reaching out to moderates or by staying pure. I don't know. I don't think we can draw that conclusion from New York.
I'm going to ask about this a little bit because, Jonah, you raised something that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to ask as young conservatives, and Ruben, I don't put you in this category. You're a journalist and you are, I see yourself as an independent, but I want to ask, who is inspiring you? In the wake of the Obama election, the sense was that the inspiration was on the side of the Democrats and left of center. So I wanted to ask, where is the inspiration now, Jonah? What's inspiring you?
I'm a prematurely cranky guy. I don't really
don't
look for a lot of inspiration.
Young.
Yeah, or young, and I never really much cared about youth politics to begin with. But I want to make, you know, there's something sort of otherworldly about a lot of this conversation, mm-hmm. and I don't mean just on the show. I mean,
sure.
Generally, is everyone's talking about how the Republican Party desperately needs these moderates, and they use the word moderate as if this is an entirely different demographic than independents. And the independents and unaffiliated, as they call them in New Jersey, overwhelmingly went for Republicans.
Right.
So the idea that some – we heard earlier –
Or they stayed home.
Or they stayed home.
In Virginia,
right.
The turnout was extremely low, as often as in off years, in contrast to extremely high last year where independents went for Obama. When they turned out, they turned out for Obama. In this election, they either stayed home or went for the Republican.
Yeah, so, that's fine. But the idea that somehow that this is that the Republicans have wildly turned off non-Republicans, non-core base voters, is just not the case in a historic, unprecedented landslide in Virginia, which was supposed to be turning blue and has been voting Democratic for a dozen years.
Okay, well, no inspiration vote for you then. I'll go to Priscilla. Hopefully she'll tell us who's inspiring her. As a young conservative, but also you in an interesting district, as you mentioned, you work for Republican Joseph Gao, who represents an historically Democratic district in Louisiana. He's a very compelling personal history, as many people know. Go ahead, Priscilla.
Well, you know, I am a conservative. I do consider myself a conservative, but I also believe in the Republican Party, and I think that one of the best things that you can do when you have a belief is to get as many people as close to your side as possible. And again, I will go back to my original point. I think if you look at people like my boss, Joseph Gao, who, like I said, he is a Republican on the big votes. He has voted with Republicans, but he also, on some votes, voted quite contrary to what the majority of his party voted with. For example, he voted for the Hate Crimes Act. He voted for the war supplemental. And I think that the larger picture here is people are talking about winning and losing. If you're going to win, the average American is not an extreme right or an extreme left. What people want is they want you to listen to them and promote their ideas. Look, I'll give you an example. And they also
quickly, please,
diversity.
We're going to have to wrap it up in a minute, please.
Right. And I'll also talk about diversity. Joseph Gao is the first Vietnamese-American elected to Congress. He is the epitome of the American story. And that person is a member of the Republican Party. So he should be embraced by members of the Republican Party, not getting into this tit for tat about who's more conservative.
Is he being
embraced? Absolutely. We have received widespread open arms from people.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. We'll have to talk more about inspiration at a later date, maybe when Joan is less cranky about that.
That'll be a long wait.
Good luck with that.
Priscilla Smith is Communications Director for Republican Congressman Joseph Gao of Louisiana. We're also pleased to be joined by political commentator Ruben Navarrete and National Review News Editor Jonah Goldberg. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.